Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us this evening. We have a great lineup of guests, features, and interviews on tonight's program dealing with high school, college, and professional sports. And leading off the program, we're going to have our special guest in studios joining us from the Carpenter Cup, founder and general manager Joe Pirro and Ted Plessel, Carpenter Cup manager. Ted and Joe, thanks for joining us and welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Thanks for having us.
I'm glad baseball people are here because there's a lot of things that bugs me about Major League Baseball that we'll get to later in the program. I want to be positive here to start. But Major League Baseball has really, in my opinion, done some things the last few weeks in particular that have really irritated me. We're going to keep that off for later, though. But I want to start positive. Joe, you've been with the Carpenter Cup from the beginning. So let's start with the history and tell us a little bit about the background of the Carpenter Cup.
Well, this will be our 24th year coming up, whatever that goes back to, somewhere in the early 90s. And it's just an incredible program and an opportunity for our baseball players in the Lehigh Valley to showcase their talents and in front of a large audience of professional scouts and college coaches from all levels. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is as a showcase, and has evolved that way to be an opportunity that we think is unparalleled. A great opportunity for both Ted and I and our staff to continue to be involved with this for so long. We were the last team in a field of 16 that became part of the program back in the early 90s.
Yep. Now, Ted, how did you first get involved with the Carpenter Club?
Actually, I got a late night phone call from Joe Pirro. He says, would you like to be a part of this? And at that time, I had no clue what he was talking about. And then he was like, well, are you really interested in it? And I said, well, I don't know anything about it. And he says, well, they play at Veterans Stadium, and Jeff Person and Frank Ilenko are going to be a part of it. And when he mentioned those kind of names, because I didn't know Joe at the time, I immediately said, yeah, I'm in. And probably one of my better decisions that I've made along the way.
You guys are baseball lifers, so what does this mean to you this time every year to get ready for it? I know it's a lot of work putting it together and then traveling and so forth, putting the teams together. What are some of your memories about putting this together, and how excited do you get this time of year?
Well, if we go back to our first, when we got into it, you weren't allowed to play in the tournament. You were allowed to be a part of the skills day. And, we kind of sent out feelers, and we had something like 10 kids that showed up. And we were only allowed to take four, and we showed up with about a half dozen baseballs that were ripped. We had a broken fungo, and I was using my watch to time kids. So
with a second hand, right?
Yeah, we've come a long way since then.
We picked up four incredible kids, I'll tell you.
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, two of them signed eventually to be professional baseball players in the draft. So, it was kind of an auspicious start, but the next year we won our first game.
And what year was that?
91, 2? 3, 2,
yeah,
somewhere near the 90s.
It's been a while.
Could you talk about how you put the teams together? How do they come about? Ted, I've seen you quite a bit out at different baseball games and watching different teams. Ted,
well, from year to year, Ted has done an incredible job in scouting and attending games and knowing what the landscape is out there. Four players, we have built a relationship, obviously, with high school coaches and Legion coaches and Blue Mountain coaches and everything that's evolved in the community, baseball scene. And it's a fishbowl of names and talent, but in the end, it's about who comes and tries out for the team. In the end, we have to select 25 players. Which basically leaves you with two position players, two DHs, and a pitching staff of seven out of 31 schools or so in the Valley. And, in a typical year, we're drawing 80 to 85 kids at tryouts. So, there's enormous number of opportunity, but also there are kids, obviously, that we cannot bring along. We try out at the sales. We're very thankful that the sales has been very good to us in terms of providing a field space and the time to conduct our tryouts there.
Yeah, great facilities there, too.
It is.
Now, Ted, you're technically retired, but between the Blue Mountain League and the Carpenter Cup, you're probably as busy as ever.
So well, Yeah, I'm involved not only with Carpenter Cup, but I'm also one of the directors of the Cancer Society for Howard Deppe. I'm the coordinator for Keystone Baseball for Lehigh Valley. And I do get my hands of just watching and consulting in the fall for an AAU team, which allows me to do what I need to do to help us with Cup. I get to see a lot of kids play, and that is very, very helpful. So one of the things I do to pick up on what Joe was saying is, in the very beginning, I get the newspapers, and I start looking at who are the key returners, who are the key newcomers, and I start putting them down on a sheet like I have, and I pick games, and I go watch these kids play and see how they can possibly fit our 25-man roster that we have to pick. And it's as Joe said, it's not an easy thing to do, but I've already seen 30 high school games this spring, and if I wasn't here today, I probably would have been at I think Northampton had Parkland today or something like that. But I would have been at another game, and there's another one looming up in Pocono Mountain tomorrow that I'd like to get to see, because I understand there's a sophomore pitcher from Freedom that is going to be throwing, and I'd like to see this kid throw. So it's what I do.
Joe, were you going to bring the Ted Plesel playing story up now, or are we going to save that for later in the show?
No,
because you saw Ted play. Right?
I did. Actually, I saw him a couple times in the Blue Mountain League, his exploits at Allen High School are historic, and that was in my early days as a teacher, and knowing Bernie Fritz, the head coach at Liberty High School back in those days.
Did you try to trade for him so that he could move to Liberty or buy him a house?
I tried all my Allentown connections to get Ted to move to Bethlehem, but it didn't work. I just haven't been able to get that done.
Yeah. Ted, you mentioned putting the team together, and I think chemistry is so big in baseball. People can argue basketball or football, but I think baseball, you could have a great pitching staff, a great hitting lineup, but if it doesn't mesh well, it's not going to work, especially at this level when you're up against such great teams. So how do you factor in that chemistry and try to get a balance as opposed to just getting power hitters or great pitchers and getting defenders and so forth?
I think Joe would agree with me. That's one of our concerns every year, because you got three kids from this school, you got in from all over the Lehigh Valley, and within 4 days, 5 days, you got to have a functioning lineup and a team that has each other's back. So that's always so it's not just simply picking the players. After you've got your players, now you've got to really consider how you're going to put that piece of that team together. Joe and I spend hours on the phones before the first game or after or each and every game that we're still in it.
Sometimes the area, there are so many schools, it's so big that it becomes a real tough job picking the right people, you know, as opposed to maybe doing it at a smaller area with less schools to have to consider. You may not have the overall as much talent, but you probably can zero in a little easier when you don't have so many schools to have to look at.
Well, it's a blessing and a curse, you know, at the same time. But it's always been about the kids and about opportunity, and so if we can even offer that opportunity to try out for a quality elite program like this, then we think we're serving a need and an interest, and to put those same kids who have battled against each other in high school and Legion and so on, and put them together on the same field, even at a tryout, we think is a great opportunity and as a tribute to the sport. But it's about more than just talent, as you know, you were saying, Chris. We really put a large quantity of focus on the intangibles and the ability of kids to mesh and play and fill roles and gaps. And we found over the years that the teams with the most talent don't necessarily win the most games. Mm-hmm. But the kids that play the best together are the teams that win.
Our special and studio guests with us for segment one, Joe Pirro, Carpenter Cup founder and general manager, Ted Plesel, Carpenter Cup manager. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was distractions this time of year, because I think if all things being equal, the spring sports coaches have the toughest coaching job, because you have the winter season that inevitably gets backed up with snow, teams that have success. The spring sports athletes don't come out as quickly, if they do come out at all, because it's been a busy year. Sometimes kids just get distracted or get tired and take springs off. And then all of a sudden you have a mandatory end of the year that you have to deal with, and proms and vacations. And there's so many things that kids now do nowadays in May and June to get away, that you have to put a team together. How do you deal with those issues?
Well, our first problem is graduation. The weather this year, a lot of schools are graduating a lot earlier than they have in the past. But I was just talking to Carm LaDuca from Easton, and mm-hmm. he was, you know, my concern was, you know, with some of the players that he has, when is graduation? I heard it was the 15th, and the 15th is our first game. I was talking to Greg Hess as I was talking to Carmen. Greg said, no, I don't think so. He said, I think it's the 13th. And then he was willing to get on the phones, find out for me, and got back to me within 5 minutes. Yeah. He says, you don't have to worry about Easton. Mm-hmm. But, those, you know, graduation is our first concern. And then you have, senior week and
proms and all.
You got all that.
I would think that graduations, it's becoming probably, it should become less of a problem, because more schools now are starting to graduate earlier in June. It used to be mid to late June mm-hmm. was graduation time. Nowadays, you know, a lot of school districts, their last days of school are the 6th, 7th, 8th of June. So that should help you in the long run.
Yeah, with Joe's great reputation down there with the Carpenter Cup officials and the Phillies, we've been able to always get a 12:30 game mm-hmm. for our first game, which allows, if the kid does have graduation,
to get back.
So, you know, Joe, like I said, his reputation down there really helps with that, because mm-hmm. they told us that we weren't allowed to pick games anymore, but we still get the 12:30 game. That's Joe.
That's always helpful.
Well, there was a story a couple of years ago at a state championship game, RCN does the broadcast for the state baseball championships, and one of the pitchers we were most looking forward to seeing that day, the game fell on his and his girlfriend's vacation week. So, you know, he couldn't play in the semifinal and then the final because he had to go on his vacation. Yeah. Joe, you got to make allowances for things like this. You can put
vacations
sports on the back burner.
With kids in vacation should never interfere with it. It's one thing, graduation. It's another thing, vacations.
Joe, I don't think
it's
a different
world. I'm old school.
Our generation doesn't believe in that.
If I would have said to my dad, I'm not going to play baseball that week because I guess we're going to go to Maine. Mm-hmm. My dad would have knocked me right off the chair.
Exactly. You wouldn't have played that anyway.
Because I'd have a broken arm. Yeah, exactly. It would have been, we'll change the vacation. Yeah, yeah. You're going to play.
These modern times have stretched every flexible bone I have in my body. There aren't many of them.
Let the record show, by the way, that Joe Craig was not here 2 weeks ago because his wife wanted to go somewhere. Where'd you go?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. April 14th,
Boston,
you're here.
Boston.
Say that. Just full disclosure
different.
Here. That's you're ripping different. Kids. I just want to hold you accountable here.
Yeah, but that's different. this is a pastime. This is fun. This isn't like an obligation.
It's not an obligation
being
to
on
be.
A team.
Yeah, someone get Rick Gehoe on the line here. We would have renegotiated his contract.
Understands totally what I mean.
It's okay. You went to Boston.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me picture this.
No.
Appease your wife, or do what you think you ought to do with the show. Well, guess what? I can live with her. I don't have to live with you.
Thank goodness for that. All right,
now our special guest. The difference.
You know what I'm saying.
Our special guest in Studio 10 Plessel, Joe Pier. We're going to continue the conversations, talk more about the Carpenter Cup, and talk more baseball issues coming up in just a few minutes. Coming up, though, first we're going to have our trivia and prize giveaways, and also a special guest joining us via the Skype lines. But right now, our first timeout feature of the evening, and top prospect Mark Appel was acquired in the Ken Giles trade with the Astros, and through the first month of the season has been the ace of an incredibly talented staff at AAA. Our Sports Talk cameras caught up with Mark recently to talk about his hot start.
I think a similar game plan, similar mentality on the mound, and so especially facing the same team, we're able to bounce information off of each other and talk about the game and talk about certain hitters, and you know, I feel like I've gotten to know some guys pretty well, and so you know, we're excited to continue to get to know each other and continue to play together, and I think especially the off the field stuff, the more we get to know each other and spend time with each other, I think that just helps with chemistry on the field. And so, I think it'll only get better as the season goes along. You know, I think, like I said earlier, just consistency with all my pitches and I'm a fastball, slider, changeup guy. So I think being able to really command with all those pitches is when I know I'll have success. And so just working in my bullpens and working during the games to throw the ball where I want to.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Time for tonight's trivia question. It is Carpenter Cup baseball related. Where was the 2015 Carpenter Cup baseball championship game played? So going back to last year, where was the 2015 Carpenter Cup baseball championship game played at? We need the correct name of the field, no nicknames. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Okay, one more time, tonight's trivia question. Where was the 2015 Carpenter Cup baseball final game played at? All right, let's welcome in a special guest, Georgetown men's lacrosse senior star Joe Bucci. We're having some technical difficulties with him, so hopefully we can get that straightened out and we'll join him. He did some very special things in his senior game the other night, his final game of his career. So we're going to try to reach out to him and get in contact with Joe Bucci down in our D.C. area in just a moment. Our in-studio guests are Joe Pirro, the general manager and founder of the Carpenter Cup, Ted Plesel, Carpenter Cup manager, and we're talking with them about baseball issues and putting it together. In fact, one of the things I wanted to hit on in our first segment, and we'll squeeze in now, is about your schedule. What is your schedule like the next couple weeks, putting the teams together, and when do you play your first few games?
We're going to start with an organizational meeting next Thursday night at the Sales. Begins at 8:30, and then we'll be going the three Sundays consecutively after that. And those will be tryouts for all sessions for all players. And by the end of the month, we will have a team selected.
Now, how do you feel about feedback? Because I'm sure parents would love to give you feedback and tell you that their son is wonderful and should be on the team. Do you take feedback? Do you welcome feedback? You know, people say, hey, I saw this kid playing down in Saucon Valley. Maybe you should give him a look. Or do you prefer to just kind of stick to your contacts and do your own scouting and do your own research?
Well, I guess I'd have to say this year, in recent times, we've had it earlier, but I think for the first time in the last three, 4 years, we're getting more high school coach input, mm-hmm. of letting us know about players. And what's interesting, and they're not just mentioning their own players. They're mentioning, hey, you got to take a look at this kid. He's unbelievable. I'd take him in a heartbeat, stuff like that. So, that's been extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I get a lot of the input early in March when they start coming out. And then you see coaches talking about these kids, which allows my staff and myself to get out. And we take a look at these players. And like I said, I've been at 30. Two of our other coaches have been at about 10 to 12. And our pitching coach has been able to get to a few of them when I tell them, hey, this pitcher's pitching. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been able to get a lot of good feedback from the coaches.
Yeah. I know college coaches, I've heard it different ways from them. Some people love social media, they love feedback, love hearing from people. Other people, it's like, I wish I could just turn my phone off for a week or two and kind of get away from that. So that extra feedback.
We don't really get a whole lot from the parents. As a matter of fact, even some of the best ball players that I've been able to see, we don't hear from them.
All right, let's check once again in with the line at Joe Bucci from Georgetown men's lacrosse. Joe, are you with us? Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Oh, all right, there you are, Joe. Glad you could join us. Welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
First of all, I want to ask you about your five-goal performance. A career high on senior day, no less, in a great ball game against one of your rivals, Virginia. What was it like to score five goals in that game?
It's one of those things you think about when you're little, and you can't really understand it until it happens.
Yeah.
I was just in the moment. There was a lot of emotion with my parents there, last game, home game of my career, and I'm happy it sort of individually ended the way I would have liked it to.
Yeah.
Team-wise, we lost, but I did what I could.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the atmosphere because I was told it was a packed house. The game was on CBS Sportsnet. So you have a packed house, I don't know if it's regional or nationally televised, but obviously a game that's on TV, which doesn't always happen in lacrosse. What was that atmosphere like that night?
It was probably one of the more electric games I've ever played. Especially because it was our alumni weekend, and being a fifth-year senior, I had a bunch of the kids who were originally in my class down, and I was getting alumni texts all day leading up to it, and we had a great student turnout, and there were a lot of Virginia fans too, so they scored, their fans made a lot of noise, and we scored, our fans made a lot of noise, so it was awesome. I can't really, under the lights, like, it's hard to describe, but it was a really special moment.
Yeah. I know Virginia's a big game for you, and you have some great rivalries, too, from Georgetown with the D.C. area and the surrounding areas and also in your league. Who are some of your favorite teams to play, both this year and over the course of your college career?
Anytime we play any Big East team, it's going to be a big game. But we've played, we always play a national schedule with top-ranked teams. So, we've sort of begun to develop rivals as we've started to play game the same consistent schedule, but I'd say any Big East game would be my favorite game to play. Mm-hmm.
Now, your senior class, you and your other seniors, were pretty special accomplishment in that you were the first four that played for your head coach, Kevin Warney. I talk to head coaches all the time. They always say that first group that played all the way through from freshman all the way through their senior year is always special. So could you talk a little bit about the relationship that you and the other seniors had with Coach?
We've sort of, been there for the good and the bad. The first year Coach Warren came in, and a couple years after that, it was tough. And we share that bond that, that class started with a lot of kids, and, it ended with, three kids, including myself. So it made four total. But, we've become close with Coach Warren and the other coaches throughout our 4 years. And, I know he views us pretty highly for being able to stick it through his whole 4 years.
Our special guest joining us on the Skype line is Joe Bucci from the Georgetown men's lacrosse team. You played high school ball up in Ithaca. Tell us what lacrosse is like up in upstate New York, and did it get you ready for the college level?
Yeah, lacrosse in upstate New York is sort of like religion for some people.
Oh, really?
A lot of terrific college programs. Cornell was right in my backyard, Syracuse, Lemoyne, Ithaca College. So I was blessed to see a lot of high level lacrosse being played when I was growing up. And then our high school program was one that was pretty established, which was very fortunate for me as well. There was a lot that was expected of me, but we played at a high level, which helped me get ready for the college level.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that lacrosse is still kind of pockets of interest. Like in New Jersey, it's as big as high school football is in Pennsylvania. There are parts of Pennsylvania in which, in D.C., in terms of the high school, in which lacrosse is big, but it's not as rampant as it is in New Jersey or, as you said, in upstate New York. Do you find that's kind of interesting when you got to the college level? Because you were in a very strong lacrosse area, did that help you make that transition? To college level, and did you find that other people who didn't come from as strong an area that where lacrosse is played at the level that you have, did they have a tougher adjustment?
Yeah. Anytime you make a jump like that from high school to college, it's going to be tough no matter how skilled you are. I was fortunate in that when I was growing up, me and my friends really prided ourselves on being smart lacrosse players, and we sort of were students of the game even at a young age. So that helped me, and lacrosse knowledge helped me a lot. And then kids who have come from, less strong programs, you know, they were always talented, but the learning curve of the speed of the college game and sort of the more thinking part of the game came a little slower. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, everyone was always talented, and sometimes in Division I lacrosse, the difference between a good player and a great player is really, really small.
Joe, before we let you go, I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on the future of the Georgetown men's lacrosse program? Because doing some research about your team, there's a lot of talented underclassmen, it looked like, and especially in your sophomore class, going back and looking at your games, your sophomore keeper had some really outstanding games. Several other sophomores had some big games throughout the season. What do you think the future of Hoya men's lacrosse is?
I'd say the future is bright. You know, like, there was only four seniors this year, and, you know, we all played, but a lot of the underclassmen were sort of, you know, trial by fire, and it had been like that for most of the junior, sophomore, and freshman careers. So, you know, there's a big learning curve at first, but we have a lot of talent coming back and a lot of kids who have played in big games. So the future is bright for the program. Yeah.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations again on that spectacular 5-goal performance and on a great career at Georgetown University.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Joe Bucci, an outstanding senior player for Georgetown. Our thanks to him for joining us on the Skype lines on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Right now, it's Joe Craig's favorite part of the show. It is Joe's Take, and this is where Mr. Craig gets a sound off and talk about anything that he would like to talk about going on in the world of sports.
Joe? Yeah, I'm going to attack Eagles football situation that's brewing right now. And first of all, the Eagles drafted, it, for those that don't know, and I guess there's probably hardly anybody that would fall in this class, they drafted a quarterback with the number 2 pick by the name of Carson Wentz, an outstanding college quarterback, 4-time national champ at his university. Although it's not a Division I school, it's still top-level competition. Anyway, they draft him. The existing quarterback, who just signed a contract for $23 million, let me tell you, for 2 years, is having a hiss fit because they drafted a quarterback at number 2, and he thinks that, of course, now he's not in the plans for more than a year or so with the Eagles. I have but one thing to say to Sam Bradford, the quarterback. I've supported him all along. I thought he had a good year last year, the second half of the year when he got healthy. He had a lot of success. But let me tell you something. Sam, grow up. Grow up. You got to go. You're offering you $23 million they're paying you. Go out. Play hard, impress the coaches, show them that you are the guy that ought to be starting, and everything will take care of itself. This business about boycotting and being a baby makes me sick. I think it's too much of a problem with a lot of athletes today, and we're going to address that maybe later, too, in the show. But, Sam, grow up! You said that's Joe's take.
When you said grow up, I thought you were talking about me. Well. All right. We're going to continue our baseball conversation in just a moment. Quick reminder, though, we can officially announce we are once again doing our special summer programs via the remote from Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. And we have some special shows coming up on Thursday, May 26th. We're going to have an event out at Buffalo Wild Wings to benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Our special guest that night will be Sue Butt-Staven, the legendary head coach at Emmaus, and her Green Hornets field hockey team that won a state championship. So that's going to be coming up on Thursday, May 26th. We have some more information on our website and coming up about future shows, but we can't officially say now. RCN Sports Talk will be getting wild once again here in 2016 with a remote broadcast from the Buffalo Wild Wings out at Grape Street in Whitehall in front of the Whitehall Mall. Hope to see you out here starting with our first show on Thursday, May 26th from 7 to 8 p.m. Now time for another timeout. It's been a monumental season for the Saucon Valley girls lacrosse team for several reasons. We caught up with the Panthers following a big win over Nazareth this past week.
At halftime, we were up, I believe, and when you're up in a tough game, you're like, oh, maybe we can do it. But they fought back, like they came out on fire.
Just 4 years ago, the team was 0-52 and never had a win. And in just 4 years, the team is going to district playoffs. It's incredible. It says a lot about the hard work of the girls and their competitiveness, their sportsmanship, and their ability to get the job done.
Obviously, I think all of us were feeling kind of frustrated and just a little bit on edge, but after, you know, I made that, I think everything just kind of went up and everyone was just feeling that relief and everyone was just so ecstatic that we actually get to do something that we've never been able to do, which is like go to playoffs.
Oh my God, this is incredible. Like, I played last year on the team and we had very good seniors, and being able to actually pull through the season and get to this point is absolutely incredible.
I think we've come far from my freshman year, definitely, and so I think it's a great improvement.
We have a very young team, so one of our main goals for the season was to really prepare these young players. We have so many freshmen in our starting lineup, so really wanted to prepare them to play at such a high level.
And we're playing such hard teams like Moravian, Southern Lehigh. Those are huge games. They're such talented teams. I think we really just need to get our heads in the game and just stay focused, and communication is key with our team, and we just have to like stay together.
My main goal was to get better at the center draw, because it's a lot of pressure to, because it's the start of game, it's like win the draw, win the game. It's just, it's a lot of like a lot of pressure, but as I continue to practice and get better, I feel like I've contributed more to the team.
It's a real accomplishment for me in my high school career. This is my junior year, so I scored evenly throughout my freshman and sophomore year. So once I got to my junior year, I knew I wanted to do something special.
Chance to interact with us.
Call, email, or tweet us your sports comments, questions, and opinions.
We want to hear from you right now.
And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special in-studio guest, Ted Plesel, Carpenter Cup manager, Joe Pirro, founder and general manager of the Carpenter Cup. Joe Craig is here, unhinged.
You know, you forgot to introduce me today. Did you know that? I took great notice of that.
Well, everyone knows.
Chris is even agreeing with
everyone.
You
unless your wife tells you to go somewhere else, everyone knows you're going to be here. So it's,
yeah, but see, tomorrow, it's a foregone conclusion. When I go to the palace, the guys are going to say, "How come he didn't introduce
Chris
you?"
Chris Zaya is saying I did introduce you.
No, you didn't. Zaya, you did not. Am I right, Chris?
Well,
there you go. Yeah.
What do you mean, yes?
I thought maybe I wasn't.
He's holding
part
up
of the
a
show.
Sign saying I did.
Okay, let's move on. We have
is that an option? Can I get rid of
that? Yeah, you've been trying for years.
Don't get me started.
Your wife will never let that happen, and my wife.
The key to your success,
it.
As far as you staying here for 12 years, is that I've been trying to get rid of you for 11 and a half. All right, hey, I want to get some more Carpenter Cup before we move on here. One of the questions I want to ask you was about the stories over the years, and also you mentioned Frankie Ilenka. There's got to be a ton of great baseball players that you've seen over the years. So what are some of your top stories and some of the top baseball players that you've had the ability to coach?
Well, you know, in part of the program, obviously, is getting kids to the next level and continuing their career. So at this point, we're over 25 former players who have signed professional contracts and have played at various levels, including several that have been in the major leagues. And I think one of the, you know, my fondest recollections is working with Brian Schneider from Northampton, you know, who had a very, very nice career of 11 or 12 years as a catcher in the major leagues and finishing with the Philadelphia Phillies. And when we won the tournament in 2011, he was actually the honorary Carpenter Cup chairman because he was with the team. And so he was the one who actually presented the championship trophy to us, you know, at a game before a Phillies game, you know, when the championship team has always been a guest of, you know, the night. Mm-hmm. And beyond just doing that, he also, because it was his old team, also allowed us on the field for pregame and batting practice, and took us into the locker rooms and the clubhouse and so on, and just went above and beyond. And it just it tells you what it's about and what it means to have lifetime friends in baseball, really.
Yeah. And it's great. The great thing about Brian and some of the other people like Darren Hilliard, we had him on a couple months ago, they get it. They're not just, I'm a big star now, I'm going to forget where I came from. I'm going to do community events. I'm going to go back and give back to the community.
Now, I won't mention any names, but let me tell you, not all local guys who make it are like that, because there are some that I can tell you over the years that forgot where they came from. Mm-hmm. There have been not necessarily baseball, but there have been some.
One of the nice things about that, when we were getting there, the Phillies public relations kept telling our kids, "You cannot talk. The only person that can sign is Schneider. The only, because he's the one invited." Kept telling us this throughout the whole thing. Ryan Howard, he signed autographs constantly.
Good guys.
He says, "Gentlemen, I got to go. I got to hit some balls to left field." Goes up and rakes about 6 to 10 balls to left field. Comes back, signs some more, and the public relations people, they're like, mm-hmm. And he says, "Hey, I got this." Yeah. Jimmy Rollins waved to the kids, talked to him. He says, "Hey, I got some things I got to do." But that whole bunch of Phillies, I mean, they kept saying, "Oh, you're Schneider's boys, you're Schneider's boys." And they came over and they took care of our kids real well.
Yeah. And another great thing about Brian in particular was he was an old school player. He played it the right way. Yeah, and, you know, he shared some stories with us about players that were coming up that did not play the game the right way. Yeah. And he and Chase Utley and some of those other people would have some conversations.
What's amazing about Brian is that he does all this despite the fact he's related to Mike.
Okay. Wait a minute. Why are you ripping
Mike Schneider? I had to get a kiss in there to my buddy.
You're ripping one of my friends.
You put you on to Linwood, you think I'm not going to rip him when it's time?
Mike, use whatever connections you have to get rid of him.
Send
him
Mike on started this rumor my middle name was Linwood.
All right, now you interrupted Ted, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was really a great moment that Joe brought up. And working with Mike Brian was actually great. But I have, you know, we just talk about, we had a kid by the name of Ringer, was going to go to a D2 school, I think, at the time. He threw an inning as our closer. Bingo, he gets a possibility of a scholarship going to a D1 school at LaSalle. Schneider, the cousin, I believe, played for us. He was going to go to a D3 school, and the team saw him down there. He ended up with a full scholarship to Western Kentucky.
Nice boy. Yeah.
And Bobby Young, one of the best stories of the skills day that is now back, that I know Joe pushed for a lot when we lost it, to bring it back. Bobby Young from Palmerton, he was one of my players up in Palmerton. He was a skills day player, and he was going to be at first base for that skills day. He threw one ball across the field. I happened to be up in the press box with my coach, Sonny Pataro from Ryder, and he says, "But I just got done saying to him, this kid's one of the best-kept secrets in the Lehigh Valley." And he threw the ball across the field, and the scouts up there, "Who is this kid?" Looking for paperwork on him. And Sonny says to me, he says, "Well, there goes the best kept secret." He ended up getting a scholarship to Ryder at the time. Two kids, Davin Pagan, was a Duroff kid, came out as a freshman. He got cut, probably the first cut. So you figure, you know, some kids, that's it. He came out his sophomore year. He got to the second cut, and he was cut again. So you figure, 2 years, this kid's not coming back. Junior year, he came back. He got cut the very last cut. Mm. So, you know, feeling bad for the kid and everything else, this kid was not to be denied. He came out his senior year, made the team, and I saw him, and his mother was giving him the thumbs up or thumbs down, and he went thumbs up. And the biggest smile on that mother's face was just priceless. And I said, "Hey, yeah, Davin, congratulations." And he says, I said, "I didn't know you'd make it." He says, "I figured one of these years you coaches would get it right." And he was on that championship team in 2011. And then the other one is Mike Nikorak, who was with us as a sophomore pitcher. He threw in the championship game for the first three innings. He threw the ball somewhere, I think, they were clocking him on the thing about 90, 92 miles an hour. Hmm. It just so happened that Amaro, the general manager, was in the stands with another scout, and he says, "Get on the line. We got to make sure this kid is in our radar." And I know that for a fact because I talked to the uncle about a week later. He said that after that particular performance, he says, even though he was on the radar pretty well at the time, he was getting phone calls left and right, and obviously last year signed for over $2 million. So
that's a great story. All right, it's the roundtable part of our show. The roundtable is where we have a variety of local, regional, national topics. Our guests don't know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio, but as always, we try to mix it up and have an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions on different issues. And surprisingly, Joe feels very strongly about a few of these, too.
So, absolutely.
Topic number one. Joe Craig, by the way. Mr. Piro, yeah. Anything negative I say about Joe, I'm directed towards
me.
Him.
Don't it's worry, it's not you.
So we'll start with Mr. Piro, though. Topic number one, what's a rule change in baseball that you would like to see adjusted to? Any level, high school, collegiate, or the professional level. Rule change, Mr. Piro.
Oh, I get to go first. Well, I like hitters, so I wouldn't mind having the DH in the National League as well.
Oh.
And letting pitchers in this age of specialization be pitchers and letting hitters be hitters. So I would say the DH in the National League.
Wow, I'm sure Mr. Craig will agree with that one. Ted, how about you? Foaming at the mouth.
Again, being a traditionalist, I really am not a great fan of the replay. Mm. They want to speed games up, and then they spend three and a half, 4 minutes looking at a play that virtually everybody in the stadium could see that was a good call or a bad call.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of the replay.
Yeah, and I missed that whole interaction about the umpires coming out, the arguments. It's ruined the game, really. I think between the delay and sometimes getting it wrong to boot, this is one of the things that's really deterring youngsters from getting involved in
baseball. Never a fan of any Yankee, but Pinella and Billy Martin and Earl Weaver.
Weaver? Sure.
Those were epic confrontations with the umpires.
That's
and with the amount of money did you pay for a seat? Get rid of the replay.
Yeah, it's taking away a lot of the magic of the game, in my opinion. Joe, do you want to weigh in or don't you have an opinion on this?
I want to go the other route on the DH. I would have to say get rid of it in the American League. And I am a very traditional baseball guy. And I like the way the game was designed. And that was to have the pitcher bat and have strategies because he had the bat. So I'm in the other direction on that one.
All right, we're going to get to more roundtable topics in just a moment, but right now our last timeout feature of the evening, and it's been an incredibly wild high school softball season here in the District 11 region. For the last few weeks, Northampton has been one of the hottest teams in eastern Pennsylvania. Our Sports Talk cameras caught up with the K-Kids following a big win over Emmaus this week.
We just won 9 out of our last 10 games. We're on kind of a hitting spree right now, which is really nice. Confidence is up, and they're playing really hard.
What was it like to start off the game with a home run, a monster home run in that? Did you ever do that before?
I have once, but it felt really good this time. To start the energy at the beginning of the game, I think it kept the girls up the whole entire game. We actually have been working really hard on hitting because that has been one thing that we need to get stronger, and we finally got it.
I think we've really been stringing together our hits really well, and me and Jill pitching. Jill does a great job.
She's throwing a stellar job, doing a fantastic job on the mound, and also Jill Muthart, our other pitcher, they're doing a ridiculously fantastic job on the mound. We can't ask for anything more.
I've known her for like this past year, and I caught for her all fall, and so we really got to know each other well, and I've been catching for her for a while now.
The league has been really ridiculous this year as far as competitiveness and as far as skill level. There's so much parity in the league anymore. It's a lot of fun to go out and play because at any given time, anybody can win.
I mean, our win against Parkland was probably like the best game of this year because we haven't beat them in so long.
Yeah, we have a very hard league and a very hard district, and this is a crazy year for us. So we were very lucky to win against Parkland, and we had been really confident and really hyped ever since then.
Final segment of RCN Sports Talk, and a quick reminder, if you want to get into our trivia game prize giveaway, we need you to email the correct answer to us to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. The question one more time, where was the 2015 Carpenter Cup Baseball Championship game played at? Again, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com is the email address. Please include your mailing address so we can mail out the video on demand gift certificate, good for $10 to you. If we have multiple correct answers, we'll have a drawing on our next in-studio show. And right now it's time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. This is where our guests single out someone in the world of sports for doing something extraordinarily well or something not so good. I'll lead it off. Big thank you and a thumbs up to all the people this past week. Alyssa Scheckler and I were out doing some of those sports talk features. A lot of people came up and said they enjoy our program. We don't thank you people enough. Thanks so much for watching, all the feedback we get. A lot of good comments about the diversity we've had, too, the last few weeks, too. So thank you for watching, the feedback, the emails, and for even taking some time to come up to us and say thumbs up to us. So we certainly do appreciate that. Keeps us going. Joe?
What are you, running for political office?
No, I want to thank people for being
thumbs
nice.
Thumbs up. I'm staying in Washington area. Thumbs up to Scott Brooks, named a new Wizards head coach. That's a good move. Thumbs down. Washington Caps, come on. You beat them, our Flyers, and now you're going to get down 3-1 to Pittsburgh.
Flyers.
Come on.
By the way, Chris Iyer here says I should tell you to grow up.
Oh, yeah, I know, I heard.
I'll keep the thumbs up Carpenter Cup related, and we were just sort of talking off air of when I first came to this area as a relative outsider, and I went to the best baseball people in the area, Ted obviously being one of them, and then other guys who are with us in the beginning, Jeff Person, Frank Yalenko, Mike Schneider, Harry Dudak, Mike Pochran, and Mike Grasso are the longest serving former coaches that have been with us in Carpenter Cup. And those guys were role models, not only as baseball men, but more so as men, which is always more important to me. So thumbs up to those guys, some of whom are truly no longer with us, like Frank Yalenko.
Yeah. And Ted?
Yeah, I'd have to say ditto to that. And I'd like to also say thumbs up to the rest of our coaching staff who put a lot of time in. Jack Petoskey, who's been with us since, 98. Jake DeBoer, the head coach for Penn Argyle. Joey Candelmo, who played at Mansfield. My son is the other coach, Tom Plussell. He played at Wilkes. These guys are out looking at players just like me. So like I say, I've seen 30 games. Jake has seen a lot of players because of coaching in the Colonial League. And Joey and Tom, they've been out. They've seen at least 8 varsity games. But the way some of the things are going with the Carpenter Cup, we were told 15 was the lowest number they'd ever go with seniors. They are down to, they went to 12, then this year they moved it down again. So we got to really keep fast track on some of the younger players so that as we continue our scouting and keep files open on these up-and-coming players, they're doing a great job as far as that. So it's not just Joe and myself that are doing these things. It's our coaching staff. I would like to say that Jake, Joe, and Tom all played in the Carpenter Cup, and so we have representation from former players who know what it's been like, you know, to go through it. And I'd like to say thumbs up to those guys as well.
Very good. All right, continuing on with our roundtable topics. Topic number 2, what's the best and or the worst thing about modern-day baseball? Joe kind of touched on a couple of things here, but Ted, we'll leave this one off with you.
I was struggling between two. The traditionalist that I am, I hate anything that resembles a clock in baseball. That just goes against my grain completely. And I guess it has the other thing that if I had a 1 and a 1A, it would be the amount of money that's involved and it's driving everything, and I don't like that.
Yeah, guaranteed money, too.
Yes.
Joe, how about you?
Same, it's money. Money has destroyed all professional sports. It's particularly destroyed baseball.
Yeah, and ironically, it was Willie Carpenter who was one of the first people that said that. The owner of the Phillies back in the early 80s said money is going to, free agency in general is just going to ruin the game.
That's why he got out.
Yeah. Mr. Craig?
Babying of players. Can you imagine telling Bob Gibson that, we're going to pull you in the sixth inning because you threw 90 pitches? What would Bob Gibson have done, guys? I'm going to lead in because you guys had a great story. Quick, tell
us. Go ahead, Chad. Tell us.
All right, well. At a clinic, I was listening to Tim McCarver talk about catching, and he got into it about Bob Gibson. Shanties, the manager, Red Shanties, refused to go out to talk to Bob Gibson because he was struggling a little bit. So he used it was too dangerous, he said. So he motioned to Tim McCarver go out. And McCarver was like, no, I don't want to do this. But, you know, the manager, he's a rookie at the time. He runs out there and Bob gets him, stops him in his tracks and says, listen, the only thing you know about pitching is that you can't hit it. Get back and catch. So.
Oh, man, I love it.
All right, topic number three. Current athlete or coach that most captures your attention, any level of baseball? Mr. Pirro?
How about basketball? Jay Wright is just remarkable, and remarkable not because of what they accomplished, but remarkable about why they've accomplished it. He's just a guy, you know, who I know personally, and I coached his kids in the Phillies camps over the years, and he's just a guy that is able to get people to listen to him, to get kids to listen to him. And that's all you need at any level of coaching or co-working or anything, is the ability to get people to listen to you. Yeah. And that's why they're successful.
Yeah, and probably out-coached everyone in that NCAA tournament this year. Ted, we only have about 30 seconds. So.
It's got to be Dustin Pedroia. I just love the kid's game. He's about 5'6", and a former MVP, just plays the game, loves the game. Big Poppy said that he was going to beat Pedroia to the field, and he got there at 9 o'clock, and Pedroia was already there. So,
Joe, real quick, your
Mike
answer?
Mike Trout. He does everything. He's classy, does all the right stuff, doesn't forget where he's from. Mike Trout.
Great answer.
And
all
right.
He was a former Carpenter Cup guy.
Thanks to Joe Pirro, Ted Plesel,
two
Joe
of our
Bucci.
Pitchers struck him out.
Okay. Thanks so much for all of you being on the program. We're going to be back next week with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.